Today, markets rethink rate cuts as central bank hawks jawbone. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, it's become a bit of a ritual as members of various committees linked to central bank interest rate decisions speak in the open spaces between policy meetings. This week, Washington has been the center of gravity thanks to the IMF conferences. In fact, markets are hypersensitive at the moment, having been baying for rate cuts all year and positioning accordingly, despite the data pointing elsewhere. But now, money managers and strategists in Wall Street have been forced to rethink their assumptions over the past couple of weeks in response to strong economic data and remarks from Fed officials. For example, Federal Reserve Bank of New York President John Williams said that there's no rush to lower interest rates and economic data will determine the timing. On Thursday, at the Stammerfort World Economy Summit in Washington, he said, monetary policy is, quote, in a good place. We've got interest rates in a place that is moving us gradually to our goals. So I definitely don't feel urgency to cut interest rates. I think monetary policy is doing exactly what we would like to see, he said. And when asked about the possibility of raising borrowing costs, Williams said another rate hike isn't his base case, but he also says that if the data is telling us that we would need higher interest rates to achieve our goals, then we would obviously want to do that. Now, recall that a key measure of consumer prices rose by more than economists expected for a third straight month in March, heightening fears that progress on inflation is stalling out. And the flow of data has moved the market-implied expectations for Fed rate cuts, which have collapsed in the past 2 weeks, and they declined further this week after Chair Jerome Powell signaled policymakers will wait longer than previously anticipated to cut interest rates. Powell pointed to the lack of progress made on the inflation front, adding the Fed can keep rates steady for, quote, as long as needed if price pressures persist. Treasury yields, which were already headed higher after the latest US economic data, subsequently rose further, and the move was led by the two-year yield, which climbed by as much as 5 basis points to around 4.99%. That's near the high end of its recent range. The yield on the positive two-year Treasury peaked this last week at just over 5%, which was the highest level since November, after Fed Chair Jerome's remarks. And as highlighted here, the 10-year US bond yield near 5% could challenge the US share market's valuations, giving it would squeeze the already skinny earnings yield of the S&P 500. Some are now suggesting the Fed might cut in response to falling markets. After all, they've done it before, but of course the inflation backcloth is different this time around. So the question is, has the market stopped listening to the Fed? And Bank of England policymaker Megan Green, speaking at an Atlantic Council event on the sidelines of the International Monetary Fund's meeting in Washington, said the UK faces difficult trade-offs over whether to cut interest rates because underlying inflation remains high and growth is weak. The remarks underscore her position as one of the more hawkish officials on the Bank of England's 9-member Monetary Policy Committee. Green, along with Catherine Mann and Jonathan Haskell, has warned against a sharp series of reductions in the Bank of England's key rate, currently sitting at a 16-year high of 5.25%. The Bank of England stopped raising rates in September and until February was warning that the next move might well be higher, but now the Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey said the question is how long rates need to remain elevated. Markets expected a first quarter point cut in the autumn, but that could even be in doubt now. Green said rate cuts were not imminent, and the combination of high inflation and weak growth means we are sort of in trade-off territory. We have to weigh the risk of doing too much against the risk of doing too little, Green said on Thursday at the event. Unlike in the US, where growth is really strong, it's not so in the UK. The UK is just emerging from a technical recession, and growth is forecast to be just 0.5% this year. Inflation is at 3.2% and expected to drop close to 2% target later in the year. But then the Bank of England expects that it will rise again later in the year as the effects of falling energy prices drop out of comparisons, the base effect. And Green emphasised that she remained concerned that inflation will persist in the UK and that rates need to remain in restrictive territory until those pressures have subsided. Investors in recent days have scaled back their bets on a quick move of UK rates after the string of comments from Bank of England officials and also surprisingly strong inflation data from the US. In my mind, doing too little is a better risk because you end up having to hike rates even higher in the end and could end up generating an even worse, bigger recession, she said. That would be the worst scenario. Green was voting for higher rates until recently, but none of the MPC members currently want tighter policy. One of the nine is voting for lower rates. And Green said that she was focused on wage growth in services inflation, and they're going in the right direction. I just don't think they're going at the speed I'd like to see them. The Bank of England said it can cut rates and will need to be bearing down on price pressures. Ultimately, we know we're in restrictive territory, and I think we're going to need to stay there for a while, Green said. Now, in Australia, we haven't had so much Fed speak equivalent, but after the latest jobs data, rate cut expectations are also being pushed out. Andrew Lilley, the chief rate strategist at Barrenjoey, said there's no impetus for the RBA to cut rates as inflation is outside the 2 to 3% band. The RBA will be very comfortable to sit on hold. And Warren Hogan, the chief economic advisor at Junior Bank, also forecasts a period of stability in rates. The idea that the Reserve Bank can even contemplate rate cuts is completely off the table, he said, highlighting signs that activity was picking up pace, similar to the US. The problem for Reserve Bank is that they cannot have an economic recovery before inflation is back to target, because a stronger economy now means higher inflation in 6 to 12 months. The consequences of households in this higher for longer world could be profound. Patrick Cummins, the Australian newspaper's economic correspondent, wrote this week that the continued expiry of ultra-cheap pandemic-era fixed-rate loans means average mortgage rates will climb by a further 0.35%, even without further official hikes. And that's according to the latest RBA Bulletin publication. In that publication, they write that around 35% of the stock of fixed-rate loans that was outstanding in December 2022 will expire over 2024, and that'll contribute to a further increase in the average outstanding mortgage rate as these fixed rate borrowers transition to much higher prevailing interest rates than they are currently paying, under the assumption that those fixed rate loans reprice to the current outstanding variable rate. The average outstanding mortgage rate is projected to increase by an additional 35 basis points between December 2023 and December 2024. And slightly more of this increase would occur over the first half of 2024 as the pace of fixed rate loans expire remain more elevated over this period compared with the second half of the year. The relatively high share of variable rate mortgages in Australia has meant that the average outstanding mortgage rate had increased by more than other developed peer economies such as the US, New Zealand and Canada as at December 2023, despite a smaller increase in policy rates in Australia. The total scheduled household mortgage payments, comprising both interest and scheduled principal payments, have increased to around 10% of household disposable income as at December 2023, exceeding the estimated previous historical peak of 2008. These scheduled mortgage payments are expected to increase further to reach around 10.5% of household disposable income by the end of 2024 as more fixed rate loans expire and reprice at high interest rates. While this suggests a significant increase in household mortgage payments over the current tightening phase, they say, this article does not consider other forms of household debt such as personal or small business loans. These forms of household debt also affect households' cash flows, although they account for a much lower share of household income compared with a decade prior. But I have a problem with this summary because it masks the real impact on impacted households, because what they've done is to spread the burden, as it were, across all households, whereas the continued lift in rates will hit those with the fixed rate reset. Thus, the pain is likely to be very uneven. Oh, and by the way, in a separate bulletin article, they also showed that bank funding costs have increased a little more than lending rates in aggregate, compressing the lending spread and banks' net interest margins. So as a result, banks have shifted their funding composition towards term deposits and issued new debt, as the term funding facility, that cheap money from the RBA, has started to mature. So the prospect for higher for longer rates do have real life consequences for households with mortgages, banks and their product pricing, and also investors more generally who are holding overvalued shares. Central bankers who wrecked economies by cutting rates too low and running big quantitative easing programs, which together with massive government spending, including COVID period support, also created the inflation monster in the first place. And they may well continue with their policy errors by keeping rates higher for longer to try and quash sticky inflation. But in so doing, will create more tremors across markets and households with seemingly no accountability. So I come back to my central point, which is this. It is time to rethink about the purpose and the role of central banks. Their monetary approach over the last 20 to 30 years has actually wrecked people's balance sheets and wrecked economies. They are part of the problem, not part of the solution. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.